What's going on, everybody? Caleb Carter here, and you are listening to the Royal Pursuit Podcast. And we are just a few days away from Easter. We're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you can't have Sunday without Friday, Good Friday. And so this last episode, and this walk to the cross, this approach to the cross, we're going to look at Jesus as our Savior. And we're going to do that through a guided meditation. And I know that might sound funny, but hang with me. This episode will be short, but I think if you let it, it'll be really powerful too. So sit back and relax, or hone in if you're driving, and let's jump in. Okay, well, welcome back. Man, it is just a few short days away from Good Friday, and that's a big deal. And just like we've been talking about for these last 2 weeks of looking at the different faces of Jesus, we first looked at Jesus as a friend, someone who gets us, someone who's there, who's walked alongside us and was willing to wash our feet knowing that we would abandon him. And that's what we saw Peter do, one of his closest followers. And if you haven't heard that episode yet, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it before you listen to this one. Because what we do is we build on Jesus as a friend and then Jesus as our Lord, our master, and how there's kind of a tension between those two things. But this week, we're doing something different altogether. We're looking at Jesus as our Savior, the man who saved us from our sin, who's given us true life. And to do that, I wanted to do something different. I didn't want us to cover a bunch of different texts and look all throughout the Old Testament, all throughout the New Testament, because we totally could. And that has its place. But I just felt in my heart that it would be cool to just reflect on what he actually did. And so to do that, we use meditation. And I know for a lot of people who aren't familiar or comfortable, when they hear meditation, they think of this Middle Eastern, maybe a Hinduism, something where I'm sitting on a yoga mat with my legs crossed and I'm humming and I'm trying to empty my mind. But Christian meditation is different, where we're not actually trying to empty our mind and be just this absolute nothingness. We're trying to pour out anything from our flesh and listen to what God is saying. And we do that primarily through reading the text and reflecting on it. And we see that in several Psalms. And that's what we're going to do today, because that's been a very powerful tool in my life as I reflect on these stories. And so that's what I want to help you do. And so if you are driving, I want you to stay focused on the road, but I want you to try to pay attention to the story that I'm going to share, and I want you to try to put yourself in the shoes of the person I'm narrating. And if you're at home, I would encourage you just to sit back and close your eyes and picture yourself in this moment while I walk through this story, and then we'll do a quick debrief, and I'll let you go to enjoy the rest of your day. So let's jump in. Okay, so I want you to picture yourself on your way home from your daily commute. It's been a long day and you're tired. You're just ready to get home and relax and do whatever it is that you do to unwind. Maybe it's a comfy spot in the house. Maybe it's your bedroom. Maybe it's unwinding with a good book or picking up on one of your favorite TV shows. Whatever it is, you just cannot wait to get home. And as you're driving home, you're just kind of detaching yourself from work, when all of a sudden, your phone begins to glow from the cup holder. You can see message after message after message, and your smartwatch starts dinging, and you start to think, what is going on? Now, you know you're not supposed to be texting and driving, but you think, I'll just take a quick glance, see what's going on. And it's one of your coworkers, and they're talking about these people who got fired today right after you left. And the story is juicy. And before long, you were sucked into this texting conversation while you're driving on the highway. Now, it's been a few minutes and you've been texting, and I don't think you've looked up at the road once. And as you're texting, something in you just kind of urges to look up. And as you're looking up in your peripheral, you see this red car fast approaching you, and they're stopped at a red light. And before you can even hit the brakes, you slam right into them at highway speeds. The lights go out, and it's all black. Now, you wake up in a hospital bed. A day later, you're fuzzy, there's bumps and there's bruises, and you're feeling these aches in your shoulders, your nose is broken from the steering wheel airbag, but all in all, you're going to pull through, you're going to be just fine, the nurses are telling you. But then they also say that there's somebody outside that's waiting to talk to you. It's an officer. The officer comes in and he starts asking you questions about what you were doing on the road, what happened. They have witnesses. They have some video from some surveillance cameras. They know they have your phone. They know you've been texting and driving. And he proceeds to tell you that the young woman that you hit at that stoplight has passed away in the very hospital that you're receiving care. He goes to tell you that as soon as you make a recovery, you're going to have to be taken down to the jail cell to await your trial. As you're sitting there listening to this officer, you can't even believe it. You've got a life, you've got a job, you've got all these things going on, and your mind just starts spinning. This can't be happening to me. This can't be real, but it's very real. So you eventually recover, and you find yourself in this jail cell, and you're not able to make bail. You don't have the money to do it. You get a lawyer, and the lawyer begins to tell you that it doesn't look good. They're going to try to throw the book at you. They're going to try to make a stand against texting and driving, and you're going to be the person they're going to try to make a statement to the rest of the world. You just hang your head and you cry as you're sitting there talking through the glass to your lawyer. As you spend night after night in that jail cell awaiting your court date, all you can do is think about the life that you were supposed to live, the plans that you had, the things that you had going for you, and all of that is gone now. All of that is wasted away. You know you're getting sentenced. You just don't know how bad it is. But your lawyer has been anything but encouraging. Fast forward a few weeks, and the court date is here. You're heading into the courthouse right now, way ahead of schedule. Nobody is even in the courtroom except you. Your lawyer was with you. He's got up to use the restroom, and you're sitting at the bench by yourself with chains on your hands. And you're just looking at your feet, wondering what is going to happen next. As you're sitting there and you're reflecting, you hear this hum, this low growl, this noise in the distance, but it's too far off for you to be able to make out, what is that sound? And as the minutes go by, the voices and the roar gets louder and louder and louder, and before long you can make it out just fine. It's the loved ones of that victim who passed away. They're screaming and shouting for justice. They want your head. They want you to pay the ultimate price for what you did. And you just sit there convicted because you know what you did was wrong, but you didn't mean to. If you could just go back in time and change everything, you would. But here you are. This is where you're at. Within just a few moments, the court doors swing wide open and people pour in. And they're frustrated and they're yelling. And the court bailiffs are having to try to corral everyone to keep them calm and quiet as they wait for the judge to enter. And the judge comes in. He's this older man, bald, mid-60s, wrinkles on his forehead. And he's got these big, furry, white eyebrows. And he's staring right at you. And you just know, I'm not going to get any favor from this judge. He sits down and the court case begins to proceed. And they show pieces of evidence after pieces of evidence, convicting and condemning you, showing that you were the reckless driver, looking at your text message logs, looking at the surveillance cameras, hearing the firsthand witness reports. Everything is pointed against you. They know exactly what happened. It was your negligence that led to this death. After about 45 minutes of going back and forth, the judge is ready to make a decision. The jury comes over and they whisper in the judge's ear. They confer. They go back and forth for a moment, and it feels like a lifetime to you. You're sitting there waiting to hear exactly what's going to happen. Then the juror heads back to the bench, and the judge looks out at everyone in the courthouse, and then his eyes get fixated on you, and he says, "The jury has deliberated, and we have found the defendant." And before he can finish the words of his sentence, the courthouse doors swing wide open, and everyone's heads whip back looking at the door. They see these two police officers, and they've got this beaten and bloody man by the arms. And they proceed to drag him down the aisle of the courthouse. And the judge is looking confused, and he asks, "What's the meaning of this?" And they drag up the man right before the bench of the judge, and the police officers begin whispering in the judge's ear, and they confer back and forth for a few moments. And you're wondering, what on earth is going on? The judge nods his head. The police officers grab the man and take him out the door that you know you'll inevitably walk through, the door heading to prison. The judge looks out at the sea of people in the courthouse and says, "We find the defendant guilty of all charges. I sentence him to 25 years. And everyone cheers and hoops and hollers. And as your hands are in your head, you begin to notice that everyone is pouring out of the courthouse, content with justice, that this man has gotten what he deserves. And you realize that they're not talking about you. In fact, the bailiff has came over and taken your chains off your wrists. And you're free to go. Nobody is watching you. Nobody's keeping their hand on your shoulder. You are free." And as you sit there puzzled, as everyone pours out of the courthouse, you begin to realize that this man that they dragged in there, he got your sentence, and you got freedom. And so you sit there for a moment, not believing it, pinching yourself, wondering, is this really real? Before long, everyone is gone, so you stand up, you look around, waiting for the floor to drop out from underneath you, and it doesn't. So you walk up the aisle of the courthouse and you open that door and you see the beautiful sun. And you smell the fresh spring air. And in that moment, you've got to decide, what am I going to do next? And that's where we'll stop our meditation for today. I hope you can see the parallels in this story between Jesus and Barabbas. You can read about his story in Mark chapter 15, verses 6 through 20-ish. 6 through 15-ish. But that story is almost, in essence, the exact same. Barabbas was imprisoned for inciting an uprising, the very crime they were convicting Jesus of. But Jesus didn't do it. Barabbas' actions led to the death of an innocent person. So he was going to be crucified until they wanted Jesus dead even more. So Barabbas is sitting in his prison cell, awaiting his fate, hearing all this commotion, knowing they're about to drag me out and crucify me. But in that last moment, Barabbas is swapped out for Jesus, and Jesus gets Barabbas' cross. Now, if you can understand, we are Barabbas. He took our sins, he took our crimes, both the intentional ones and the unintentional ones, and he died for them. And I'll leave you with this. Romans 8:1 says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." It is because of Jesus that there's now no condemnation for those who believe in Jesus Christ. I think that is so powerful, and I hope you'll reflect on that, that because it's through his blood we have been saved. He was perfect. He was without sin, and he died for those who are covered in sin. Just like that poor soul who was driving that car recklessly took the life of another, Jesus stepped into their place, just like he stepped into Barabbas' place, just like he steps into ours. So I hope this little meditation was impactful. I hope it put you in the shoes of somebody awaiting a guilty verdict, but it was given to somebody who didn't deserve it willingly. I love you guys. I hope you'll get your hearts prepared for Good Friday and for a celebration on Easter Sunday. Have a great week. We'll talk soon.